if they don't see it as materially in their interest to move out. Now, I don't like that too much, and I hope we can work on that later, because if in fact women have to have a program designed for them, what happens if something goes wrong? There's just going to be a few people out there, and they can take care of us fast. And I haven't solved that problem yet. But it seems to me, that is, I do not have a full proof here, that the first problem is to figure out what the problem of oppression itself is. Now, oppression is a relational term. You notice in that wonderful phrase, something's the matter with what happens to women, nobody's doing it. No hands. There's the victim and the action. No agent.
Could you define the word oppression? Either your own definition as you
well, if you look up, well, both my own, it seemed to have something to do with a pressing down on, which means that you've got something on top and something being pressed on.
Okay.
The ways in which it's defined in the dictionary are variations on that. That is, something pressing on to something else. That is, something heavier necessarily. It's not in space. So if you talk, what is defined as political oppression in the way the word is used is that there is an imbalance of power between at least two groups.
Supposing the dictionary, are we to assume that the dictionary is unbiased in its...
Everything is biased.
All right.
What we have
so
to do is...
Are we learning to argue within the male standard of logic, or are we going to develop our own standard of logic? Do you know what I mean?
Oh, I'm getting nervous.
No, what I'm saying is, are we...
The male standard... There is such a thing as truth, not male truth. Those are lies.
But are we going to use their techniques for discovering truth? Are we going to develop our own techniques?
Do you think that Einstein's theory was a male theory, or do you think that it's subject to question? Would you say Einstein's theory is a male theory? In other words, that...
No, I wouldn't say it was a male theory. But...
In other words, when...
I wouldn't question it out of its having come from a man. I wouldn't question it. If I were going to question it, that's not why I would choose to question it.
How can you...
But I would choose to question anything that defines women, any words that women use to define themselves.
That's something else. In other words, you're talking now about value terms.
Yeah.
And there are some terms that we consider negative, but we might agree to their definition, like, say, for instance, prostitute. Now, or bitch, or various things like this. We might pass different value judgments on them. But what we're trying to establish here in terms of feeling and truth is what appears to be reasonable in talking here. Now, if things are false, do you recognize the distinction between truth and falsity? Do you think there is something, like, say, for instance, the color? There's a rough description of the color of that matchbox, and that someone could be colorblind or have, say, the glasses I have on, which affects the color of that, and that to that degree, my perception of that.
weirdness.
Then Ruth had something. I remember she mentioned on the way down.
Well, as I thought about feeling and thinking, I realized that there are many combinations. One, if you are feeling something about subject A, and if your feeling is, your feeling can intensify your thought about subject A. If you're thinking, if you're feeling about subject B, and your feeling is very intense, it might deter you from thinking about subject C. And as I thought of these various combinations, I thought I would like to. Hello, Jackie. I thought I would like to think of some subject that was in my own life situation on which I could not only feel and think but act it out, to have the feeling, thinking, experience. And so I chose subject D, which is feeling. D was an unpleasant thing. And my feeling about it was, if you stumble on something unpleasant, you want to remove yourself from it as far as possible. And since I worry about how much of such feeling I do in relation to not going ahead and really thinking a thing through, I thought I will try this. And I had a situation in my office after I appeared on the television show. One of the women in the office, we passed in the hall. I said, "Hi." She said, "Ruth, I would like to ask you not to speak to me again." Mm-hmm. So I said, "Oh, you know, I at the moment I just said it will be my pleasure," and walked on. But I thought about what I felt was outrage, anger. And I thought about it a little. And then I kept thinking, yeah, one day I'll have to deal with that. So today, I decided I've felt about this. Now I'm going to think about it and act. So when the coffee cart came around, I got coffee and went into her office and sat down. And I said, "You're going to have your coffee break with a lesbian today." And by the way, I will interrupt myself to say that I think one very good reason for having in-between meetings, I don't want to take up the workshop time to talk about this personal happening for me, but it might be of interest to the rest of you to hear what I had to say, how she responded, and all of the rest. So I think
sure.
That...
Yes, definitely.
But, well, she said, "Oh, I don't... I thought she was going to faint." And she said, "I'm just too busy." And so I said, "Well, I'm sorry. You know, you can do this any day of your working life, but an opportunity such as really exploring your own mind with a lesbian might never come your way again." And I pushed papers aside and set my coffee on her desk and sat down. And I was there for about an hour. And at our next meeting, you may be interested in hearing how it all worked out. But it took me quite a bit of thought to realize the combinations of feeling, thinking, and the value of the intensity of feeling about a given subject.
Also, if you depend on feeling too much, certainly it seems to me the point of any movement of oppressed people is to make the world a better place, which one assumes you're referring to an improvement in the condition of the group you're a member of. But feeling is what develops mob situations. And certainly lesbianism is an excellent example of people reacting through feeling. And how many people have suffered from that? And do you want to encourage that as a method? Because unless the only way you can really count on people is on the basis of some objective criteria out there that people have some sort of commitment to. And you don't have to watch them every second, because who knows, maybe they feel good towards you one day, but you don't know what happens to them between then and the next day, and then they might not feel so good. In fact, they may plant a knife in your back. Say, well, that's how I felt that day. And I was thinking about something that's been very painful to me very often, the movement, which has been that you have a few friends, especially if you have been using your mind and you get to positions also and you look around over there, so that you come to put particular importance on a few friends you have, right? It's nice to have some friends. And when issues will come up, and you know, you're looking at the issue, you come to a certain conclusion, you might look and see your friend reacting violently, doesn't want to deal with it. You find yourself caught in a tension between what you see to be true, that may or may not be a popular issue. I mean, making it even a bad issue, but because it happened at the beginning of now, but I arrived at logically that if people, that in a good society, people would not relate on a fast basis. So whatever relationships it could be as individuals, immediately everything started exploding. Now, here you see friends here who are appealing to you as their friend, not to make their lives more painful. So that you're feeling, and that was the same thing with that housing situation, feeling is pulling you this way. This is this idea of here. So you think, well, maybe I'm wrong, or this is a way I've seen of being torn between thinking and feeling, and very often recognizing that you will lose the friend. For me, thinking and action are fairly close together, which creates a problem. Some people, or most people I've known in the movement, can separate thinking from action. In other words, think something's right, and some consistency between that and what you're doing doesn't seem to bother you. Now that's another problem I guess we'll have to come to later. Why it doesn't, maybe because you know the idea of integrity has no meaning in a woman's life. Because you die fast that way. I don't know, but I mean there seems to be a tremendous divorce between those two things.
Feeling of impotence too.
Well, you know, you do things that, because they have to be done, and people like to imagine that the people who do these things aren't afraid. Dolores was saying this woman said to her why she stayed home, you know, it was 30 people supposed to move into a building and 3 showed up, and the woman immediately, when she started calling, where the fuck were you, you know? She said, oh, I was afraid, you're lucky, you're not afraid. She said, my knees were shaking so hard I could hardly get to the building. But this is the whole thing, poor me, and never mind. Never mind responsibility or any kind of commitment that you've made. So impotence, there's no...
I mean, women feel, I think, more impotent than men. I think that's why they would be more prone to that.
Well, we are impotent given our present, given the way most women don't stand by. I mean, given how... I mean, if you look just factually at what's happened with this movement and what it's really accomplished, short of some change in the abortion law, and what people like to say, well, it's in the air now. What's in the air? Well, that there's a problem. You got to do better than that in 4 years. So that the thing of excuses, too, that's where the feeling, you feel impotent. I'm not interested in somebody's feelings. I'm interested, I mean, I can feel around at home, right? I'm interested when I get together with people to deal, do business. I'm not there to, you know, for an orgy, right? And that's what I meant as far as certain standards of you're serious, because that boy died. Now, I'm not pro-man, but I mean, it was a human life. Because of that sloppiness. And it's always somebody else who pays for that sloppiness. So that feelings of impotence. What is this? What is that? How is that relevant?
What I was saying was that it would make women less less able to coordinate action with thinking, because they would be afraid, I mean, and feel.
See, I think that you go against feeling. You must go against it. I mean, many, many times, I said the first time I spoke on abortion, I literally blacked out. I was standing there and I just thought, well, if I faint, I won't be able to do anything anyway, so just keep going and just open your mouth and read this. Everybody's terrified. So what else is new? Feelings, keep them to yourself then. You know, what you put out in the middle, we all got our problems. So you put out in the middle something relevant to what you're meeting about. Because unless you're being very egocentric, on what basis do you think what you feel should be of any interest to anybody else? Unless you're just gone berserk. Don't answer that. Consciousness raising, right? And as I keep on trying to bring up, is that the reason it's so key is people live and die on it. And there are special conditions under which women have ever organized at all, and we don't have an indefinite amount of time for people to indulge themselves.
I'm not advocating it. I was just saying that it was the case.
That the reason they don't move
but
is...
they don't move is...
Well, they are... Well, when we get to defining what political is, it's an imbalance of power. But that fact, the whole point of a movement is to redress that imbalance. That's the whole reason why you need a theory and a map. Because you've got a few resistance fighters, you've got the private citizens, all the bystanders. You're lucky if they're bystanders. Right? And then you've got the Vichy government. And realistically, we have to add up our assets, but that's very, very far. I mean, this is ridiculous. We're sitting around ping pong table trying to figure out, you know, solve the problem of the world. I mean, you know, they could probably incarcerate us for less. They probably will. 14th meeting. But we're impotent, certainly there. But there's a certain, if you're serious, if you're concerned about women, there's a certain obvious process. You've got to define what the problem is. You've got to find strategy, tactics, and then you have to, and these are all enormous areas that haven't been touched, really. Then you've got to list your assets. Then we'll all slit our throats, right? Slitting your throat.
On this idea of basing things on fact and substantiating a statement, we had a meeting last night, and one woman was talking about the women's movement, and it was about what are the main problems of lesbians? Okay, so this woman brought up the women's movement in some way, and wrongly I followed through with it because I started talking, saying that there is really no women's movement, and then she picked it up by saying, well, there are a lot of consciousness-raising groups starting.
And there are a lot of people who claim that there is a women's movement, which is a difference.
Right, well, Ruth called the meeting back to order.
Right.
Because, you know, we could have gone into a whole tangent. But, you're right, I mean, I really don't feel, because I don't feel that there is a woman's movement. I don't feel it because I don't see evidence of it at all.
But isn't that a thinking and feeling? So you're saying you don't feel, in addition to not thinking, there is a woman's movement.
In addition to
you
that,
said your phrase
yeah,
was.
Yeah, I don't feel it. It's a feeling that I get that there's no woman's movement. Which I also think that there is no women's movement based on the evidence that I see.
It's that
draft
at your
see.
Back.
But I wanted to go into that more with this particular woman, but you know, it was the wrong time, of course.
Well, you begin to notice that people aren't thinking about what they're saying. People aren't thinking about what they're saying. So that people hear something and then they assume it's true. And then you say, why? Well, because so-and-so said. Well, one of the most crucial things a woman's movement should accomplish is to get women to be responsible for their actions, for their lives, for other women's lives. So that I think once, that's why I thought we just take it more positively from how to construct a theory. And then, once people are on their feet that way, they can look over, take a look at what's over there. And then you can answer some questions for me. How come? How come this hasn't bothered people? And how come we have whole methods that are based on our greatest weaknesses? Mm-hmm. And what that can lead to, the demoralizing of the people involved, which is one obvious point. Did anybody else do think about thinking and feeling?
Yeah, I had also an interesting observation about myself. It seems to me that we always talk about ourselves.
Well, that's sort of
that. I asked myself now, do you feel oppressed? And, you know, feel, and I really specify this feel, and I must say, I don't. And then this because of all my past experiences and, like, feeling towards men, I mean, I don't feel any, you know, this goes now, of course, it's very, very personal. I don't feel any personal interest, not anymore, I used to. Maybe we all started out that way. And I must say, I had my relationship with men was always the best I think a woman can ask for. But now, of course, that has changed. And so therefore, I have no resentment primarily towards them. And I always admired their logic, of course, because with women at that time I couldn't converse, I could not talk the way I wanted to, and I always was dealing also with philosophy also when I was only 15, 16 years old, you know, I was talking about everything, about this or that, and was interested to find out why we live and all this kind of thing, you know. Going through it and reading books accordingly, and then found out that even the wisest philosophers didn't find an answer, of course. But
they could talk a good answer.
They talk a lot of it, and then finally they end up in insanity or something like this. And I felt very good about it. I said, well, you are such a young person, so don't worry about it. Later on in your life,
you will go crazy too.
Something will happen to you. You will get adjusted to it or whatever. You don't worry about it. But I did have a lot of sleepless nights because of that, because I didn't find an answer to all these things. And now I'm saying, what I was pointing out is that I don't feel oppressed. Now I'm asking myself, why don't I feel oppressed? Or do I have to feel oppressed in order to be very active in this? But my thinking is, and my convincement is, yes, we are oppressed. Women are oppressed. I know this. This is a fact to me. But I don't feel it. Now, is my feeling necessary in order to...
It'll come soon enough.
or will it come? Why I'm just so brainwashed? Or what is it, really? Why I don't feel that way?
I've had a similar problem.
You can think that way, but not feel that way.
Yeah, I had that.
Like right. The same thing with lesbianism. I don't feel oppressed either. And I get away with a lot of things, and many people know. I have never had any friends. I never lost friends because of that. I'm very open with it. I mean, I'm not carrying it around. But by the time a person like as a straight person, if I want to define it that way, that seems to be of interest, I can completely separate this, of course, for my, if it happened to be a woman, there's nothing personal interest in. I see her as a heterosexual woman, and I know she is heterosexual, I respect that, but she might have other things to offer,
as a person, so I'm seeking her friendship. And that doesn't make any difference if I was a lesbian or not. I would say, see, because of my personality, she wants me to be her friend. And so as soon as that is established, it doesn't make any difference what I am. And it always happens that way, whether it was a male or it was a woman. And I had never any problem that somebody said, ooh, now that I found out about you, you know, to forget, I don't want to see you anymore. It has never happened.
Well, what happened was for about a year, I thought, you know, very intellectually, one should work on the oppression of the class of whom you're a member, but an exception. So, and I had a lot of evidence that I was an exception. So it was just like these little teeny drops, you know, dropping down. Women would join, maybe because I was also on the telephone, you know, because I had the now telephone line. So each woman who would join had just seen a little bit different kind expression of the problem. But I think it was maybe because, well, partly because I had been married, but also when I just saw so many women, one little thing after another, and all of a sudden it just hit me. I was one of them. I mean, there was just a point at which I realized that those ways in which I had thought I was an exception were quite minor. And I began to then rethink a lot of my experiences. And I pulled out a lot of incidents that I had suppressed without realizing. And I began to see, I realized that, say, in my own marriage, that it was very hard for me to really face just what a motherfucker he was when we got a divorce and the things he tried to pull, right? Because I always had, now, of course, in my own case, I had a wonderful marriage, nothing, just intellectual precision, and so on and so on. So that I think this is uncommon in terms of the women's movement. I mean, most women women have made me feel very inferior. I'm sure they didn't mean to, but they would say I was a feminist since I can remember, you know, and then you said this, you know. But I think, Although the thing that disturbs me and why I'm not so sure how much this feeling matters is I fought on abortion. I fought on things that I had never experienced. And this did not affect what I was prepared to do. I fought harder than women who had and women who hadn't had. So I'm not sure. I think the main thing is, you know, the evidence. Were you there or not? I'm not interested in why you weren't there. All I know is that maybe some people die if you're not there. Now, so when you say you're going to be someplace, you be there. Or else you know you're a traitor. So, I mean, it's, you know, that's in the final thing. But, I mean, you wouldn't be here, I don't think, unless you thought you were interested in feminism in some way. Yeah, I guess we better start on political theory, yeah.
I was also thinking about thinking and feeling. And the way I explain it to myself, and the way I understand it, and the way I see it is, I've drawn something here. Well, I don't know how valid this may be, but I'm a very practical person. I like seeing things there. And you have two different aspects. You have the fact and the feeling. And there is a definite structure that is composed of many different variables, and different variables of oppression or ways being oppressed, and they're clouded by feeling. They're seeing different kinds of oppression of the problem, whatever it may be. And perhaps, like, there are different kinds of feelings and different kinds of oppressions, and they even fight with each other, not only stemming from
contradictions
here, but contradictions also. And like the fact of the thinking becomes clouded by way of feeling. I don't know if that makes sense.
Well, I think it's that the fact.
Could it be the fact? Is it the fact?
Well, there is no two truths about a single thing. In other words, if it's reduced sufficiently. But certainly we do plow facts over. I mean, look, how many women are in love with the enemy? Yeah, that's pretty cloudy. That's pretty good. You know, so that they see, I mean, here's all the shit coming down. But they say, you know, he beats me, takes all my money, but I love him. So that's, you have the fact, and then women are the best transformers in the world when it comes to this. This is a real problem. But even more, in other words, are you saying that women don't try to get at the fact? Or are you saying that women That in other words, it's unconscious or it's not their doing, that they aren't able to see the fact?
No, what I'm saying is that there are many different oppressions, and I'm not just talking about women, but I'm talking about racial oppressions, I'm talking about any kind of oppression you could think of. And that
class systems,
class
on top
oppression,
of class systems.
Exactly. Any kind of oppression, and I think that they lead
that
to one
thing.
That
has to be answered.
To one thing. I don't know what that one thing is. There's a definite structure that's making all these different oppressions, and they're fighting one another because that's the divide and conquer technique.
Well, it's not just that, but you have to understand the phenomenon of oppression itself. Mm-hmm. You have to understand, that's what we'll get into in terms of political theory. All of these things will have to be accounted for. An adequate political theory will have to account for all of the facts concerning people and how they operate together in a society. Now, I see a little bit better what you're talking about. You're not just talking about the abstract. You're talking about, you're getting a little ahead in terms of how the groups interact. But as far as fact being clouded over by feeling, this, I don't understand why people, what frightens me a little bit is why didn't this bother people more?
Couldn't it be that they were too bothered by other things to bother about that?
Well, I don't know, but if you would be aware enough of a problem that you would join other people who said they were aware of a problem, it would seem to me you'd want to get at the facts.
That's true in many cases, but no, I can't.
My question is, would it appear to be the same problem? Would it appear to be the same problem?
I see what you mean. Yeah, but I mean, my point is, what we're here to do and what the people here do is to find out what the problem is and delineate it. Okay. To see how these things interconnect. My question that I want answered in response at the end of the 18 sessions or what have you is, how come other people don't seem to want to get at the facts? And especially you see that in the women's movement, but I'm hearing it more and more from certain people in the black movement. And I don't know what they're doing in the anti-war movement. I mean, I just... So this will be dealt with, if I understand the question, has more to do with what we'll be doing later in terms of the argument on class, how you define a class and how the class systems are built in terms of... That would be more of a genetic account, how they interact and what is... Because you have to see that. But there are steps that have to be made first. And what I really want to be sure I do is that people build a... I want you to observe the method and also the fact of these layers. So none are missed. Okay. What I wanted to deal with tonight was political theory. Now, I want to use the method I was talking about on it. Which means, first of all, to take a semantic approach. What is theory? What is a theory? What criteria would have to be met before you could claim any fact or set of facts a theory? What does political mean? What set of criteria would have to be met? Then when you combine political and theory together in a phrase, is this different? This is a classic logical and epistemological issue.
Could you repeat that last one?
When you, first of all, what does the noun mean? Theory. What is a theory? What set of criteria have to be met before, what set of conditions or criteria have to be met before you can justify the use of such a word to apply to a given fact or set of facts? Two, what does political mean or what does politics mean? What set of criteria or conditions would have to be met before you could apply this term? Three, when these two terms are combined, do you have something special and different in kind from those two words separately. You're talking about a concept now. Political theory is a concept. It's a combination of two terms.
Are they, in other words, are they synergistic?
Are they what?
Synergistic. When combined, do they...
Do they make a new whole?
Yeah.
There's a classic argument, the Theaetetus, which is Plato's main dialogue on that, saying, is there a difference between 12 eggs and a dozen eggs? Although that isn't the example used. In other words, is the whole a sum of its parts, or is once you have the whole, is that in some way different from the sum of the parts? It's a classic question. I'm not trying to legitimize it, but just so everybody knows. Now, a theory Well, why don't we go around and see what people here think a theory is. How would you define a theory?
Established idea.
Established idea. Does that mean... I want to write down all the suggestions of what it could be, and then we'll, once we work it out, then we'll look back and go over the established idea. Okay. Somebody else.
I'd say an unestablished idea. Mm-hmm.
What would be the distinction?
Oh, it's something that hasn't been proved. It's just a theory. Mm-hmm.
Okay, you're saying an unestablished
idea,
unproven. Okay.
I think it would be an explanation of an idea.
Okay.
I think a theory is something to be tested. I think it's a conclusion of a concept.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a sequence of thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
A systematic statement of principles.
Statement of principle, one?
Plural, yes.
Oh. Yes, plural?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Has everybody made one suggestion each?
Mm-hmm. The postulation of a concept which attempts to explain a phenomenon.
Mm-hmm. Postulation of?
A concept which attempts to explain a phenomenon.
Observe. Just a moment.
Idea that's formulated after much thought, trial and error in experimentation, or
how it operates, how it's maintained, what are the parts of it, how do these parts connect and interact, what is the tangible structure of it, form of, say, well, we'll get to that later, institutions and so on.
How would you define political?
Well, as I said, I like to be super, super careful. So what I would say would be political refers to the relationships that hold between members of society, all members of society.
An ecosystem?
What?
An ecosystem? An ecosystem.
Ego?
Eco.
E-C-O.
What do you mean?
Ecosystem.
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 Economics?
No, you're talking about the relationship of
what are you talking about?
Of all things in
that if you take one out, it upsets the structure.
No. This is, I haven't heard that term. Where does that come from?
Maybe it's a biological term. But it relates.
Well,
imbalance of power.
No, but see, you can't have that until you have that obtains between classes. So that I was just saying, if you're going to take it in a very strict sense, it would be political is the relationships obtaining between individuals of a society, and since from the beginning what we have are classes, it would be the relationships between individuals as members of classes.
An ecosystem is
in
like
society.
It's like a forest or a pond.
In universal discourse.
In biology, where
it relates to an ecosystem. I think the way I feel when it is, well, I think it exists.
Where it's the water and the.
Well, you're talking about an ecological
balance.
System.
Balance. Yeah,
it's ecosystem. Where if one is taken away or if one is mutated, then it could change the internal structure of it.
No, I'm not talking about that.
No.
No, because you can take. See, that's why you have to have a. That's why you have to have a theory construct. Is to get down to the basic foundation so that you understand what can be substituted and what can't be. Because many parts of it, they can just put a new variable in. And this is the problem in the women's movement now. People don't know what's essential and what isn't. So they act on superficial areas where it can be shored up immediately with something else. That's why you need an analysis of a systematic analysis of the key, of the structure, like the skeleton of the body is what we're trying to get. That basic skeleton. And it's going to have to satisfy the criteria of universality, which no other political group has ever had the wonderful opportunity. Things aren't that bad, huh? That it satisfies time and space in the same way that it does with women. Any theory, perfect theory, has to be have the meet the criteria of universality and would be the model for human oppression in general. So political theory is going to have to account for all the different ways in which people relate. How's that for a problem? Pretty good, huh? Something to keep you busy, right? That's why I sometimes say, if nothing else, it's fascinating. Yeah?
I was thinking in the terms of a political ecosystem, where if you're going to think about how people relate, now, could you take out one of them and will it change the structure of that theory? I mean, no, of course, the theory
can change. You mean a single member of a particular class? Yes.
It would change.
You do. No, and it wouldn't change it.
No, right.
That's what I mean.
You took out a group?
I say no.
It would depend. You see, as you get the structure now. major parts, you pull it out and it's going to have a much greater effect than minor instances. And that's why you have to understand what are the major and what are the minor.
But sometimes those major things can even be absorbed by the... and absorbed in such a way
they
that
can
they're
change,
not even felt.
Well,
somehow.
The major things, like, say, for instance, people talk about marriage having changed a great deal. When you examine it in terms of its own structure and you've built your theory from the bottom, you see how there's been really no change at all. Minor alterations that have been shored up by other means at the same time. That's the whole point of understanding and getting this fucking map, you know? So that you know, okay, they built a bridge someplace or something, right? Or they say, well, that city's been bombed where the refineries touched. You know, you got to know what's there. You got to know what the core of that particular strata is. Because then you say, has that been touched? You know what to go, what to look for. You know where to hit.